cold, the smell will hit you, you know. And you just got to breathe with it. And here's your place where you got to get your water.
You were working for the industrial division at that time?
No, Northern Affairs. Northern Affairs is what the guys are handling.
Engineering division.
Yeah.
And they had you cleaning it out.
Yeah.
And they provided the disinfectant? Did they?
Well, I went and got it myself and used it. They got a lot of it. Oh, not for year round, a lot of it.
Out of stores?
Yeah. But this year, natives that's watching it, he don't seem to bother too much about it. And the smell is something powerful in there. At times, he got heck from nurses and doctors.
Now, what people do is they go to this service center, and on the one side, they throw their toilet bags, the honey buckets, they empty them in there.
Yeah. There's a little room there. And on this side, that's where you get your water. Well, then when you get too full, you know, well, about every 2 weeks, us guys pump it out.
I've seen that truck.
Yeah.
And they throw the plastic sack in there too?
Or anything.
And it breaks?
Oh yeah. And it's really no good, you know, it plugs in that hose all the time. Right? Sacks in there.
Sure, the sack would plug it.
Oh, it's awful. And over here at the, what they call that, rehab center?
Mm-hmm. The old rehab center.
Well, you know, there was a lot of log houses there, and there was a lot of Eskimos and all of it. Well, every second day we'd go around and spill their honey buckets, they call it. Every second day, you know.
You would empty them?
Empty them.
From the house? Yeah. Like in Frobisher Bay. They do that in Frobisher Bay.
Well, that's Northern Affair again.
Now, what you say is that if the utilidor came, then it would be a cleaner system?
Well, yeah, it is very, very clean. Very clean. Because I work a lot of that, you know, John is a job, and I figure it would be very, very handy thing to have down there.
Are the people in the unserviced area, are they asking for the utilidor?
No, yes, I think so. I heard that more than once.
Who, for example, has said this to you?
Well, this counselor, for one. There was another one before him. He died, this Newt Lang.
Lang. I heard of Newt Lang. He had a trading post up there.
Well, then this year, Lyle Trimble, that I see, Jim Coe.
Jim Coe.
Yeah. And now it's this year, Otto's wife, what do you call him?
Mrs. Binder.
Yeah, Binder, yes. Yeah.
But well, any of the Indians and Eskimo themselves asking for it?
Well, I think that's the way they started this thing up. Well, they've asked for water, you know, as it went, and they got this little service center I was talking about, for the water. And they give them a place to dump their toilets as they go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all they got up till now. But the way the place is getting ruined too, you know. The walls are marked up with pencil, and sometimes a big hole here, a big hole there, and your tab is always breaking. Somebody's fooling around all the time. And they put a strict notice there, but they still don't listen to that.
Yeah.
And this guy that's working there, well, he don't keep it too clean either. But there's still a place to go to get your water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the ones that are nearby, they can spill their toilet in there. But the ones far away, well, they just put it on the side of the road for this year truck to pick it up.
But a fellow can also get his water from the truck by paying 90 cents a barrel.
Yes. Jim Burks.
Jim
Biggs. Jimmy Biggs.
Yes.
Yeah. He pays 90 cents.
But I guess 90 cents is hard to come by every week?
No, it's not too bad.
It's a good price.
Yeah.
You hear a great deal in this town about serviced area and unserviced area.
Yes.
And you also hear, another thing you hear about is northerners.
Yeah.
Who would you say are the northerners?
Well, I figured it would be my people and the ones that live in the north all the time, as I see it. Well, I hear some people say a newcomer. Well, you figure right away that's a white man from a different place. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. So that the northerners include Métis, Indians, Eskimo?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
And how about somebody like Bob Bates?
Well, we don't figure, we take him as a white man, you know, from the other world. In any man like that who's just like you, we don't take you for a northerner at all, because we know you from the other place.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we look at it.
So are there any white northerners?
Well, there's not very many here nowadays. There used to be quite a few, you know. That used to live here year round, but most of them that are still alive, you know, at that time, they go out with a lot of money. You take like Slim and Mel Savannah.
Who? Slim and who?
Simler.
Slim Simler.
Simler for one, and you take Nels Vadim and Clive for another one.
Nels
Vadim?
The man you told me about?
No. I mentioned him only now.
Oh.
This is he comes from Sweden. Well, you take like Lang, he died, and Carl Garland, and there's Frank Carmichael. That's about the only ones that I used to remember, and they're very old now, they're in their 70s. But I figure they're the northerners, all right. And there's not too many.
Mm-hmm. You say that there were others, but they've gone.
Oh yes, yes. And like us guys, we were wise, you know. We could have been well off like that guys. But like I was telling you about a guy the other day that spent his 500, most of us like us. Well, and these guys, they build up, and gee, they get well off. Oh yes. And most of them went out and make money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes. But like I say, there's not very, very many around now. About four or five, and that's about all.
In Inuvik?
In this delta.
In the delta.
Yeah.
But
they used to be all over. All the way up the Mackenzie River was a trapper. They used to go way up the field, way up the river, go around by the coast and go up the Anderson River. Lots of trappers. And all them guys made money. Oh yes, there was quite a few of them. But like I say, they end up very, very few.
What did the government do? Cut out that white trapping?
No, they just got so that they'd go so long and then they'd get out on their own.
And now you're not allowed to come in anymore to do
well,
it?
Well, I think so. I think they kind of stopped.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Because, you know, it used to be all rich, you know, like lots of pelt and this, and they used to come from all the way down the river. And like you were here all your life, well, then somebody from Fort Smith or Alberta clean you out right now. See? So that's why it was mostly the treaty Indians, you know,
uh-huh.
that didn't like that. And when they make their meeting, they brought this up with the government, and then eventually he stopped them from coming down, you know, to clean
so.
You out. Yeah. It's no good for the trader, too, after he fed you all winter, you know, you've got nothing to pay him in the springtime. Well, all that came out, see.
So the trader wasn't too happy either?
No, it wasn't good all around. Because this other guy that came down, he had everything, and well, he can clean you out. And them days, the country was open. You can go any place in the Delta. They pay so much, well, they're entitled to go ahead, see?
But supposing you were here and nobody could come in there then?
No, it wasn't like that them days. You can go any place.
Even on your line?
On my line, you're supposed to keep away half a mile from my main line. But then nobody listened to that.
Oh.
A guy that paid his $5 license or whatever this was, he comes in and go ahead anyway.
Your line wasn't registered?
No, not at that time.
Not at that time.
So in the end, they kind of stopped them. And it was very good for the traders too, because it was right back to the way it used to be, you know. And he made more. And right up to the time when that Jew I was telling you about that boosted the price up, well, it was very good for the rest of the traders down here. Yes.
How about a man like Vihus? Would you call him a northerner?
I think so.
Because he came in as a trapper.
Well.
And he stayed for a long time.
Well, he's another man that's well off today. He's well off. You take like by a guy by the name of George Roberts. He used to be in the Clydach, you know. George Roberts. He's in Hayter now. He's got a big business there. Well, and Bill Vihus. Well, they had some men there at that time. That's a big manager. He told us people that there were the two guys who were really well off. You know, they had money to almost last them.
Mm.
Oh yeah. Well, they're well off people. He's well off. He works every day he's around, and he don't go to shows. He don't buy his stuff from store. He orders it. You know.
Does he?
That's the way he lives, and he's very quiet. He don't drink. He don't smoke. He attend to his job,
yes.
And there he'll go home. The next day the same. Sometimes he stay home.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's like that here, and he's a quiet man. He's been through World War
I. Oh, I didn't know that.
He's a very quiet guy. And he's a well-off man.
Got a nice house.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Like last winter, his son died in Edmonton, you know. This year, Bill Lewis, he adopted a native boy, raised him. Brought him back with the plane. I don't know what it cost, over $1,000 just to bring him. Well, it didn't mean too much. Well, us guys can't do that.
Yeah.
Because they, I understand they charge you more for a dead body than that.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's the way I understood it anyway at that time.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah. And I heard it cost them way over $1,000. Just 1 week.
What was the boy doing in Edmonton?
Well, he was drinking here, see, to begin with. He got out on the job, you know, in Imperial Oil. Well, I guess he got sweated and drunk, and maybe he didn't have enough clothes on, and the cold went to his head. Well, then he dropped out there and brought him back here. And so he threw drinking. Somebody said he was drinking mentholatum, some kind of alcohol, mixed in with this liquor or drunk, you know, and just taking anything, and he ended up like that. Well, then he dropped, and he was right on the job at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he went 2 days and got there started while he dropped, and they brought him right back from from here. They took him out while he died over there.
The hospital. Mm-hmm. So he did this drinking in here?
Yeah, in town. You know.
In town.
That's the way I understood it anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know how true it is.
Well, let's go back to the northerners. Do you know any other guys who today would be considered northerners? How about Zupko?
At Fort McPherson, I just was thinking.
Yes.
Well, he's been down, say, about 18 years, I guess.
Who's that?
This year, Zupko. Mike.
This guy?
Well, this guy in Fort McPherson that's trading now, Krutko is his name, you know. Krutko.
Krutko?
Yeah, Krutko. Mike Krutko.
Yes.
And this flyer in Nunavik is named Mike Zupko.
Yes.
Yeah, well, all them guys are. Well, I don't know about this Mike. He started off when Inuvik started, you know. He come to apply it there with a small plane. Started off flying. Well, it's just about 8-9 years in him by now. Mm-hmm. Well, then when Inuvik started, you know, well, every week he'd fly them back and forth, you know. I mean, on Saturday. On Saturday they let them off and the liquor was over there and they had a few dollars. And
yeah.
Mike couldn't handle them. His plane is too small. But he built up very good,
yeah.
Mike, by this plane business.
He's got a nice house.
I think so.
I haven't been inside, but so here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's another guy in Fort McPherson. He came down the track, you know. Well, he tried 1 year, and then he started off trading the next year. Well, that man is well off today. It's not too long, say about 10, 11 years now.
That's Krupko.
Yeah, that's in Fort McPherson. Well, I think I don't know, he must have been in the North a long time before he got here. Well, now I don't think he'll get back out. He goes and gets his supply every year and that, but I think he's there for life, because he's got a native woman right from Fort McPherson.
Mm-hmm.
He had this Daisy that's working in the laundry.
Harrison,
used to be. Well, he cut this woman. Of a partner. Now he's got this McDonald I was telling you about, his daughter. Well, he got 4 or 5 kids now up there. He's got a big store, he's got everything.
Mm-hmm. How about David Jones? Is he a northerner?
I think so. He's been down ever since I was a kid. I remember him pretty well.
He was born at Less a Slave.
Yes, yes. And I think he spent most of his life in the North anyway, so
yeah.
I would think he's.
Now, how about somebody like Barney McNeil?
Well, he's something like Dave Jones. The first time I seen him when he was very young, he started off what we call the wireless, you know.
DOT?
You know, the same thing, but we call them the wireless officers, you know, like army guys.
Oh, yes, not a signal corps.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the way they used to dress anyway, because they come like that, you know, army clothes and that. Anyway, it started off. I think I take him for Northern. He's married to a native too, you know.
Married to Norris's sister.
Norris's daughter.
Daughter?
Daughter. Fred Norris's sister.
Oh, old Naris's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then, you know, just like the other guys, I was telling you what, they might take off and go home, settle down, but then I still think they're wrong, because I knew them a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you take a guy like you see one day and he's gone, most of them like that. Mostly government people like that anyway, there's not too many that lived down here 20, 30 years now.
Yeah. You say that they might go out and settle down.
Oh yeah.
So you don't think that they're settled down yet?
No, I don't think so. I've never seen one that stayed down here and died around here,
mm-hmm.
outside of my grandfather, the ones that I knew.
Yes.
They go so far and then they take off.
Yes.
Well, I figure these guys are going to do the same. Because Semra is already talking about close up or sell out.
Is that so?
Because, you know, the government allowed the trappers so much on this pub. Now, you know, and I heard them one day kicking them out. I think it's 50% or so much. And they can ship that far out for them and still give them 3/4 of what it's worth, you see.
You mean that Semra can only give them a certain amount of money?
No, what I meant was, you know, when the government got in to help these people,
yeah.
Like if I had 1,000 rats, well, he can take my 1,000 rats and ship it for me,
yes.
and give me 3/4 of this money.
The government?
The government. Well, that's what he really don't like, and I heard him say in person that, well, he should buy rights sell out or close up. And I don't know what's going to happen. Now I hear them, the native people down here, they're going to get a cooperative store. So if that really happened, well, then Slim will just quit it all together. I'm sure of that, because they won't go to him. They'll go to their own store. Because
mm-hmm.
I hear they got it in the upriver someplace, 2-3 places.
Yes,
I and for a while there, we were trying to do it, you know.
You?
Me and a whole bunch of others, because we hear it's like this in Alaska, see. And now them people, they're well off. Us guys, we work for nothing, like, you know. And nothing, we got to go back to them. Well, we can't get so much. Maybe I'm a crook, I didn't pay them the whole thing. Well, but then they tell us we can't get it. Can't get it at all.
Co-op?
No, can't get it at all.
Why not?
Well, they just said they wouldn't give it to us. Because if they did, you know, the way I heard it was, well, there's a lot of big shots in the Hudson Bay, see, that's running office in Ottawa. Oh, he won't allow you to get it because they want to make their money down here. If we get it, well, they make nothing. Well, up till now, I haven't seen it come yet, but I hear now that they can allow it. So I don't know when that'll ever come.
What year, how many years ago was it that you and these other guys tried to get a co-op?
Well, actually, me in person, I didn't try. What I was really talking about was I understand that they mentioned it, you know.
But how many years ago was this mentioned?
Well, say about 4 or 5 years back.
That's it just,
yeah. I heard, say for instance, the last time I heard it was in 63. Charlie Smith was talking about how it was run in Alaska. That is the way we got the idea, see?
Uh-huh. Through Charlie Smith?
Yeah. Well, me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, then he's the one told me that they tried to get it, but they wouldn't allow them this year's store. But now I understand that they can get it, well, I don't know when it'll come. Well, if they get a smart man, you know, say a government guy or a man, something like you, and everybody gave him his farewell and build up from there, and, you know, supply them and keep going as they grow, well, I think they'd pick up all right.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Do you know any Indians who sell their fur through the government?
Well, to take old Fabian up here. He always sends his rats out.
Fabian Quiet?
He always sends his rats out, but in younger days he never do it. He sells it to the Hudson Bay. And nowadays he do it.
Well, when he sends his rats out, does he send them out himself or through the government?
Yeah, through the wildlife, you know.
Well, the wildlife, Williams handles that.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. He go to them and they fix it up, tag it up and everything. But there's not too much of that. Slim, he gets the whole thing, similar. All the natives go to him.
Yes, I know.
Boy, the way that man is pestered for money. All the natives go to him. Slim, I want $1. I want $1. $1,000. They go day and night, they end up over there and drink his money.
Well, they have to pay him back.
Sure, but that's why he don't give them very much. And nowadays he turned most of them down. Completely low. First they drink it up anyway, the next day they bother. That what? Man has got patience. I see them pester him for money. He ends up giving them $1, $1.50, $2, some $5. Same way next day, come back. Then wives too. Oh, Slim, I'm working. But I tell you one thing, if he wasn't here, us guys, our children would be very, very poor as it is. You know, he's got patience and he know you're working. Well, he'll give you a job for your kids. I say, you go, you know. And a lot of us there were crooked with him. Lots of times the guy don't end up paying him, see. I still want to come back next time, he helps you again. Oh yes, it wasn't for him, you know, boy, it would really be in a mess.
So he's a good man?
Oh, he's a very good man.
Been here a long time?
A long time, you know. Well, he built up from the minute anyway, when you're working, well, he knows you'll get it, he'll get it, eventually get it, sooner or later. He helps you out as you go.
Yeah. He's married to Agnes Summer?
Agnes Summer, you see, dad by the name of Pete Norwood. He comes from Norway, his dad.
His dad, Senua's dad?
Yeah. You know John Norbert in Tuck? I guess you heard of him.
Oh, the magistrate?
Well, no, he's just a man that works for himself. I mean, John Norbert, brother to Agnes Summer.
He's a trader?
No. He works pretty well for the government. He used to be a captain on the ships. I mean, it was so long in the season, you know. Like these ships at Tuck there.
Mm-hmm.
I think most times he run that ship routes and they, as long as the season lasts. Always been at it like 8-9 years. But I don't know up to last summer what he's had. But that was his job for a summer job, you know.
Yes.
A winter time, I guess, is, I don't know what he do around there at Tuck. But I think he's working for Northern Faroe up there.
There is a Norbert who is a magistrate at Tuck.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Well, that could be him. John Norbert is his name. And I had never heard of any other Norbert that I know of.
How about a Holman? Would you call Holman a Northerner?
Oh, I think so. I think so. He spent quite a bit of his life down here.
Yes.
Pretty steady, too, you know. But like I said, I knew darn well he'd take off, too. Well, I don't blame them, it's their country. They go so far and take off, well, that's all right.
But some of these men who come in here fall in love with the North.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I see a few like that, and they won't leave anymore.
Have you been outside?
No. Yes. I had a chance to go twice while I was younger. Well, I figured my country is the only country. At that time, you know, the government was paying out what they call scrip money, you know. He was paying out this what they call scrip money, you know. Like I'd get $240. My brother gets it. One family, you see. We were 14, I think, something like that, over 10, you know. Well, that was the start of it. Well, then the next year, you know, the treaty ended and the government paid these treaty people $5. That was the new one. But the first year anyway, this guy that was paying out this money, you know, he knew my grandfather and he wanted me to go back to Scotland with him. Oh, God, I wouldn't go for the love of money. I took the bush. Well, then the next year, this old man died, you know, and the next year there was a different guy that came in to handle this money. But then this scrip payment, it just happened once. But the treaty, you know,
yes.
$5 business goes every year. Well, yes. That is the one that came the next year. And he was another old timer and he was going to take me again. I found out I took off again. I held him one day too.
And how old were you then?
Oh, boy, I wasn't very old. I must have been 10, 11 years old. But I'm sorry today I done that. Held him one day too. Oh, held the boat one day, just on account of me. Yeah, I was in the bush.
Did they look for you?
Oh, they looked for me. They never fight me.
Did your father want you to go?
Oh yeah, that's the one that started him off. He wanted to get rid of me, you know. I mean, put me back where...
Yeah.
Oh. brother got that cold very bad.
Yes. Do you take anything for it?
No, nothing. I seem to get up with it worse and worse every month. It's awful.
Isn't there anything you can take for it?
Well, I don't know. I've never been to the doctor. Maybe I could get something from him.
If you go to the hospital and ask them for medicine or something, do you have to pay?
Yeah.
Not very much.
Well, but then...
I don't know. I'm asking. Do you have to pay very much?
No, not very much.
Not very much.
Like, but then I get a bill for waiting time, $8.
For what?
For waiting time. Just for waiting there. And they'd hold you there, oh gee, lots of time, 2 hours, 3 hours. I don't know why. And my pill that I got is 50 cents. But I get a bill of 50 cents for aspirins and $8 for waiting time.
Does it say waiting time?
Waiting time, right on that pill.
It says that?
It says that. Oh yes.
I never heard of that.
Yeah. Well, that's no lie. But I've lost that pill since you. I remember well. Oh yeah, they charge you so much, three something. Not too much for their medicine, all right. And I get hundreds of bills like that, and I can't pay. I get overbooked, you know, on account of getting laid off and house rent, mm-hmm. light bills, and you've got to buy your grub out of the store, and I tell you, it's wicked.
Mm-hmm. What about your light bills? If you don't pay them, how quick do they turn
off?
How quick do they turn
off? I had mine cut off one time, without warning. Without warning. And I was working for Norman Burgess at the time, this is Norman Farragut, you know. But when I got back, there was no light, so I went to a guy that I knew how to phone, and I phoned him. I said, I got no warning. I said, this thing is off, and I need it. I was using hot plates at the time, you know, and I had to work. I had to get my grub in here. There was no fire. So he just phoned down, and he made them come right back to me and hook it back on.
Who did you ask to phone?
Well, he asked this Norman Burgess, he asked this boss, you know, the NCPC, yeah.
You asked Norman Burgess to phone?
Yeah.
Is he still here, Norman Burgess?
No, he's out now. Well, this Dusty Miller is in his place, Dusty Miller, yeah. Before Norman, there was a guy by the name of Grease. Well, that day's a lot of work, you know, and if you went to Grease, you know, he'd hand you a piece of paper and he can put you any party. Norman was like that too. And Miller, he sits in his office and when sometimes a lot of work and he can't see it. Just come back tomorrow. Still like that, Miller.
So Norman Burgess was your boss?
At that time, yeah.
And that's why you went to him for...
Well, I told him about it, see, and at that time...
For a little bit of help.
Yeah, I had no money, you see. And it wasn't a very big bill either, it was 9-something. So I went back to Slim and I told Slim too, you know. And my light was already hooked up, but coming up, I went to Slim and I explained to him. Well, he gave me $10 and when I went back over here, you know, to Norman, well, I handed him $10.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, then there was another time there I'd get a pink paper from Ottawa, last warning.
What kind of warning?
Well, it says there if you don't pay at a certain time, you're going to cut it off.
And that came from Ottawa?
Mm-hmm. A pink paper beside your bill. Oh yeah, there's a lot of guys right up here in the co-op, you know, they tell me they're cut off. It's right now, they just come up and cut you off. That's that.
You mean the people in the co-op can't pay their bill either?
Well, just the same as any other place. Well, they got these, everything is electric, you know. You go in them big houses, and I think it come to over 10,000, just the house alone. And to put material in it, I understand that's from head to foot, and they bring these big stoves, you know. Everything is electric.
Yeah.
And then they got these great big tanks. Well, they can't afford it, but they put it there anyway.
You mean water tanks?
Yeah, no, barrels, gas.
Oil
barrels, yeah.
Supply.
Yeah. They try to hook up their houses or something like the government. You know, the pipes under, all fancy, everything fancy, it's classy. And then they got a lot of record players and stuff like that. I understand they're doing away with it, though, as they go. It's too much bills, you know.
You mean they're selling that stuff?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I understand they're cutting it off as they go. They can't afford to pay for it, see. And most of them got big families, too.
Yeah.
And then they've been getting on this rations too from Northern Affair, you know.
They've got to pay for that too.
Oh yeah, everything, everything.
Did you think of going into the co-op when they started the co-op?
No.
Never thought.
No, because I knew I couldn't afford it. I would like to, but then I couldn't do it. Because I don't get help anyway from my boys, the ones I was telling you about. If I was in all together, you know, work all summer and say order grub before fall, we'd live good all winter. But look at the mess I went through again last night, just through that one boy. There was about six other guys there running in and out. And Henry Cardinal, I was telling you about, his family's here.
Did they come down?
They came down, and ever since he brought his family, well, he's drinking day and night, and his family end up in my place. Well, you go in my place there, and boy, there's just somebody sleeping here right now, you know. You've got to step over one another, and then these boys come in and out. Well, me, I suffer for it, you know. Didn't sleep last night. Supposing I was working, well, I went to work like that many a time, but nowadays I can't do it very well, because I get hurt too, you know, off and on.
Henry Cardinal has how many children?
Four.
Four children?
Yeah.
Young ones?
Yeah.
Sure, you wouldn't have enough beds for all those?
No. They sleep on the floor and all over the place.
Doesn't he have a house in town?
Well, I was telling you about that tent frame.
A tent frame, that's right.
And it's big enough, you know, but...
But they'd have to heat it.
Yeah. But then he goes alcoholic. As soon as he comes, he's just got to drink this money, see? Well, then, they're in my place.
Do you own the lot on which your house is built?
Mm-hmm, I think so. It's supposed to be. I got around 1900 on that thing now, and they charged me 3000 for that place. 3000 for that 512.
For the house?
For the house.
How about the land?
Well, I think the land is in with the house.
The whole thing together. Mm-hmm. And you've paid 1900?
Something they got. Right. Something they got. Because, you know, to begin with, I had the house in the Clyde. And anybody that settled down here, well, the government gave me so much for that house. And that goes on this one, though. You can't draw it out and spend it. Well, that's the way they got it. And
well, maybe that paid for your lot.
Well, it could be.
For the land.
Mm-hmm. But I understand they charge $300 for the lot, just to put up that gravel pad. That's the man and the truck and everything. $300 for one lot, one gravel pad.
How much did you get for your house in the Clyde?
Not very much, $720.
$720?
Yeah. 720. But most of them guys, they get over 1,000. But then, mine wasn't too good, but then it was a house, it was warm, and it had everything in it.
Did you build the house
in
Eclavia?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a house was it, could you tell me?
Well, it was lumber, you know. Some I got from the outside, and some I got from the sun right in the Eclavia.
Mm-hmm.
Built a double tar paper and insulation, and like I say, some from the sauna, lumber, you know, pretty good.
Did you do the work yourself?
Yeah, built it myself.
Sons help you?
No.
Somebody help you?
No, nobody. I do it myself.
How long did it take you?
Well, not very long, about 6 months to build it. Not very big, 16 by 16, then I had a lean-to to it, 12 by 14, not very long.
Did that in the summer?
Yeah, in the summer.
Now, could you tell me what year you did that, approximately? I'd like to know when these houses went up in the
Clavik. Mm-hmm. Well, it could be about 12 years back.
12 years back.
But I built a log house too, just about 2 years before that, you know, on this side of the river. And I sold this to one white fella. Well, then I built another one on the other side of the river. That could be 12 years back, something like that.
Now, the house that you built, the one with the lumber, that's right in the Clavik.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other one was across the river. What did you put into the house? What kind of a stove?
Well, a heater and a cook stove.
Two stoves?
That's all, yeah. Two stoves.
Did it have one room or more than
two rooms?
Two room house.
Yeah. I was foolish. I made good money in the movie, you know. I end up spending it and breaking myself and losing my job. Then I can't work the way I used to, and here I am with nothing. Oh, I end up rotten too, you know. But then, gee, I got all these boys and light bills and rents and a lot of them in there all the time. It's like last night, there must have been close to 20 of them in there.
What were you doing? Trying to sleep?
Well, me trying to sleep. Well, then this Elizabeth, she ended up cursing one guy, really cursed him up and down, told him to get out. You don't work. Well, everybody here, most of us got to work. We got to try. You people sleep all day.
Elizabeth was saying.
That's what she told him. But these drunkards, they talk back anyway. Well, then my wife, she told them to get up. And in the end, there's just one guy got up. And the rest of them got all over the floor there. And this morning, there was only one there when I got up. I finally kicked it off and got out of there at 7 o'clock this morning. I couldn't sleep anyway. There was only one guy left. And the one that started this, guys up, he was next to me sleeping there. Well, he's comfortable. He can sleep all day and all night now. See, and get up and then eat my stuff and then start off again. That's the kind of a life they give me.
Well, when these people come into your house, they're not your relatives.
Well, most of them are.
Most of them are your relatives, yeah.
And so then they get in with their partner, see, and this guy is crazy anyway, and he figures he can do it, and he gets away with it. Well, he's there drinking heavy, you know, and you tell him something, he'll hit you right now. Start out more trouble, see. And that's the way they live. Well, I threw him in one time for 3 months, you know, up to Lenny's Den, done me a lot of harm.
His dad?
My son, the one, Lazarus. He done me a lot of harm, you know, 5 years there, all through drinking.
What kind of harm?
Well, for instance, like I get kicked in the ribs, like I told you, I was in broken ribs and black eye and torn up shirts. And like one time my arm come on a joint. Beside that, you know, he'll ruin a record player like that, smash it. Guitar, violin, gun, he'll break it.
Why does he do that?
Well, he's crazy. You can't tell him anything. He get drinking and he gets mad and then he starts smashing things one after the other. And he keeps going like that off and on. And he's done me a lot of harm. Well, now the rest of his brothers are doing the same.
Are there a lot of people who get crazy like that when they drink?
Well, the native people. That's what I told you, most of them do it.
They break things. They
break things, they throw things, fight, cry, club one another. Oh, yeah.
But do you know some native people who, when they drink, they just get to feel good?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them. They just pass out the same night. Oh, yeah. These younger people, when they're together, community outfit, like, you know, together. And if there's more than two guys, they always end up tearing one another's clothes clean off. Well, this Andrew Stewart, he comes there and he had no shirt. See? Not the thing on about 5 o'clock in the morning.
You mean he had a bare chest?
Yeah, well, somebody else tore it off and he got in the battle with somebody, see? And he was blooded up all over, ended up in my house. And when I got up this morning, there was his t-shirt. Half full of blood. Somebody threw it in that garbage pile, and I see them, look at it. Well, they mentioned it anyway, this morning, see. And I knew the guy they met. Hmm. That's the way they drink. Oh, yeah. Always like that. This is young fellows, you know.
What do young fellows drink? I was going to ask you about drinking. What do the young fellows drink? Is it whiskey, scotch, or gin?
Yeah.
What do they drink?
Well, last night I seen them with five star
rye. Rye whiskey, yeah, Canadian rye whiskey.
Oh, yeah. Scotch and beer, as they go. Well, they must have had quite a bit, because there was three guys and one toboggan, and I can't see why they had to go 8 miles and fool around on the road all the way, come back to Inuvik, half frozen, then go back up to that place, then come back.
Was there a brew up there?
Well, I don't know what they're doing. I understand this two guys were supposed to get back to their area at Old Fabian's place, but they didn't make it.
No.
Well, this morning they still had that five star. They were still going this morning. But there was other guys that passed out, like Andrew Stewart, get torn up, black eye, and stuff like that. And there was two other guys that were some other place.
Mm.
Oh, boys. Well, and me, I suffer for that. I gotta stay up with no sleep. That's my family symbol.
What else do people drink? Do they make brew in Inuvik nowadays?
No, they don't bother with it. But I understand that John Grillen said he got the permit from the government, you know, to make beer. And he had it now for 3 years. He was telling me that they don't even give him a license. They just give him the okay and that's it. And he's alive in the Clavic. That's the John Griddle. I was married to my sister, I was telling you.
Mm-hmm.
But then they tell you to keep it in your house. Strictly, that's for yourself and that.
Does anybody have a permit in Inuvik?
Well, no, not that I know. to make deal. No.
They could get one from the police.
Well, I understand they couldn't get it. And this guy tells me you can get it already.
Yeah.
But in Fort McPherson, there's a lot of it going on. Yeah. This Mike I was telling you, it brings it in by the tons. You know. I don't know how many ton a year they bring in. This straight malt sells it for 2.5 a can. And they run them out of malt every year. And I understand that sometimes you get a plane load, it's just small. Well, then he charged 4 something or 5 something, and we sell it just the same.
Then it'd be expensive.
Oh, it is, but they get it just the same.
I heard that some people, maybe 3 or 4 people, drank poison here some years ago.
Yeah, Tuck people.
Oh.
Tuck people.
That happened in Tuck.
Yeah. What they call this mentholated hydraulic.
Methylated spirits.
Yeah, that's the one. Oh yeah, but they drink that after they get pretty high when they run out. They'll drink anything they see. I seen an Eskimo one time, a young fella. Well, he was living above Summer, Ellis Summer. He was down the road, you know, training at the time, amongst the natives. And this guy made brew and ran all the stuff and took off from his camp and got to Summer's. And the son of a gun ended up with a green liniment.
With what?
Green liniment. You know, liniment rubbing.
Green liniment.
Yeah. He had this thing in his pocket, I guess, and when he arrived on the hill, you know, he stopped there and Sherman Simler, Slim's daughter, you know, seen him pull out a bottle and started drinking. Well, when he got through, he dropped, so they went over there, he was dead already. Here was that bottle of medicine, green liniment.
That happened in Mayclavik?
No, it happened in the Delta, down below. But then the other ones, it happened in Tuck. They steal it right from there. They get in on this government business, you know. And I don't know what they got it for, but anyway, like, for instance, like me, if I'm working and I see something like that, well, I tell my partner, see. Well, then we get together and then I'd steal it from them, see. Well, then we get a drinking this and, well, we end up blind. Some of them died, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's the way I understand it. It took off.
How about lemon? How about extract? Lemon and the other extract.
Well,
is there much drinking of that?
Well, I see it every weekend right here in the New York. They get it from somewhere. Yeah.
When the liquor store is closed?
Well, they get it on Sundays. Somewhere is open Sundays, every Sundays, you know. And most of them end up with nothing. Well, somebody's crazy enough to get in there, and there's always somebody getting it on Sundays. I've seen quite a bit of it going on.
So that's a Sunday drink?
Well, it could be. Well, they don't think about praying or staying home, or they still want this drink. I don't see how they can get fed up with it, especially Eskimo people. They never seem to get fed up with it, and they never get sick. I never seen one that got sick.
I was going to ask you about a hangover.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I got it more than once. Yeah. Especially if I mix my drink.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. In my young days I drink brew, and that's really bad for my head. But this alcohol, you know, if I stay with one kind, I don't get sick. But then I get weak, shaky, and miserable, you know, if I drink it steady.
You say the Eskimo don't?
Oh, I don't think they do. I've never seen one that they go for it the next morning, just like I said, they didn't see it for a month. Although they go like that every day, as long as their money lasts. I haven't seen one that suffered, you know, from headache. I haven't seen one. And I'm pretty well amongst them, you know, over 30 years.
And the Indians, they do?
Oh, they get hangover and, oh, they suffer. Some of them hate to see it anymore, see, and they go a month, maybe a week, 2 weeks. But then eventually they get back on this thing. Oh, I see them suffer with it.
What does a man do for a hangover?
Well, I don't know exactly myself. I just suffer there until I get over it. But to myself, I'm one of the guys that hate to see it again, you know.
Yeah.
There was times there I had bottles, I'd give it away or throw it away. That much I'm sick, you know.
Yeah.
But then about 3-4 days time, well, I wanted to drink and pretty soon I started looking for it again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen an Eskimo like that. Not that one time. They always want to be well and drink the right in there with you.
Do Do you know any people who who drink alone? I mean, you're telling me about people drinking in groups, yeah. Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anybody who drinks alone?
No. No.
Just by himself?
Just by himself. But this guy that I'm telling you about, well, he held this here permit making malt brew, you know, John Grill and the Tyrex, saying, oh, 3 years. And he's a real bootlegger, you know, used to be. And he'll drink anything, you know. But since he's got this thing, he's never been in trouble over it.
No.
No, but he's got a lot of family, big family all the time. And they get along with this thing amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they're drinking all the time. But that's the only guy that I know of that didn't get in trouble that long. And I figured he wouldn't last 2 days. But he lasted that long. But the rest of us, we got a bottle now. Hey, come on, have a bottle. That's the way I got him wrong. You know, they like the other day there. Come on, Noel, come on, Noel. I done good for 6 days. On the seventh day, that was the seventh day in a row, she come high.
So that usually when somebody buys a bottle, he wants to share it.
Yeah.
He wants somebody to drink with him. He doesn't want to drink alone.
Oh, yes.
So then there's a party.
Well, actually, there's two guys together, or three, you know. Well, then the other guy, if he gets some more, well, there's a few more. And then they'll get in with their women, so, well, yeah, you call it the party, all right. But I've never seen one man alone drink alone, no. Not amongst the natives.
Outside, you see that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know of anybody who's got to have a drink nearly every day? You see this outside sometimes. A guy, he's got to have it every day, otherwise he doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you have to have coffee every day.
Sure. Well, no, I haven't seen that. But like I say, I might bring out an Eskimo again, you know. He's looking for his drink every day. But then that same guy, if he went in the bush, he wouldn't bother him.
That's what I mean.
But then in town, you know, well, he's just got to be right there. I get out of town and I think about it and that's that. But if I get in here too, I get right in right now, see, start off again. Yeah, but I'm getting wise, I slow down real lots. I was doing good there for 6 years, you know. I ended up losing my job on account of that drink. Oh, yeah. But it's my fault, too. I can't say I'm not in it. But it proved in court there that she brought it into the building. I'm bad enough for it. Well, eventually I got to a drink, or that little drink sure fixed me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Most people, when they're in the bush, they can forget about it?
Well, I think so.
About drinking?
I think so.
But when they come back into town, then
they're right in on it. And then there's some guys that I knew, well, this was guys right in Fort McPherson, you know, they'd get out and go to their area, set 40, 50 traps, you know, and go right back to McPherson and get their supply. Well, right away, here's the caramel, see, a little sugar, and then they'll go back, start off brewing right away. And then when they're like that too, you know, they'd always go to the next camp. Oh yeah, and they got their brew bar with them. And up there is really bad. It's malt all the time. And they get their liquor, they order it every week, you know, from here.
By plane?
By plane. That's the way it used to be from here to Clavick when it was in the Clavick. You know, you can order it every time somebody go over. You got a liquor permit anyway, they give it to you for a dollar that time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have this liquor. Well, you just throw this in and your money in the envelope, he's there. Get me 3-4 bottles on the pilot here, who was that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now you don't have a permit. Man doesn't
well,
need a permit.
They took it all away again.
So supposing a guy in a Clavick wants to get some liquor, what does he do? Tell the pilot?
Yeah. Providing he gets some money, you know.
And the pilot will go to the store down here.
Yeah. Well, now they can phone now, you know, and they let him know. Well, they throw in so much for this guy. Well, he sends his money anyway. That's one thing you got to have first, you know. And your name, and that's all. That's the way they're in it now.
Who do you phone?
Well, the vendor.
You phone Bates?
Yeah.
The vendor?
Whoever's there, see.
Yeah.
But most of them, they hand their money to Carmichael, Fred Carmichael. One time there, I come in with about $400 cash, you know. I was coming back up this way, and this Carmichael, he passed me with his car, you know, he blew his horn. And I cut right across by Bill Vihus and started off at the vendors, you know. Well, here he is again. And this is one of these Pentecostal guys that started off, I was telling you about.
Billy Day?
No, Fred Carmichael.
Was he a Pentecostal?
Yeah, and he's still like that. He couldn't drink and smoke and everything else. Anyway, hand me some money. Well, the natives in the cloud, they kind of put down their order, you know, and give him money, and he put the order and their name and all this money in. And me, I don't buy very much liquor. I might buy a bottle, Mickey, you know, a little one. Then I might get a case of beer, and that's that. Mm-hmm. But I don't get liquor and beer together at the time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I comes in, and I didn't like to turn him down, you know, because my wife and his mother, they were close relations, you know, and I didn't like it. But anyway, he never asked me to do him a favor in his life, and he don't go in there, you know, see?
Who?
This Carmichael.
He won't go into the liquor store?
No. He wouldn't even go in. You see, he's self-righteous, like I was telling you, at that time, see? Religious. No smoking, no boys. He's free, he's holy now, see? Anyway, I got this thing. I walks in. I wait for a whole bunch of guys. I start buying. Holy smoke, I had a list about that long. And here I was, I covered that whole congo. Man, I didn't like it. And I knew there was guys that seen me right away, see? Especially these Pentecostal bunch, and I'm working for the government all the time, and a janitor job, and here I am. And the natives, they notice things quick, you know. Oh, I put tagging beer in and out, into this thing, you know. Holy smoke. Well, the next day there was one Mountie here that I knew, you know, from quite a while back. He stopped me on the road, and he says, how come you bought all this liquor? And he laughed his head off, you know. He used to travel with me in the hills, you know. And I knew him, and I just thumbed up, see, kept going. He knew about it the next day or that night, you know, something going on.
So what you did was you carried it out of the store into the car.
Into his car.
Where Freddie was waiting. Yeah. Then Freddie took it down to his plane, puts it on the plane, takes it over to the plane.
Takes it back. But that's what happened to me that time. Oh boy, I didn't like it. I ended up taking it as a joke anyway.
Well, did he pay you for this job?
No, he gave me $2 in there. $2. He handed me $2 in there.
Do you know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous?
Well, I got in on this BA too, you know, and I read a little bit about it. You know, BA, AA or something.
AA.
Yeah. And, oh boy, I couldn't break myself. I tried, you know, but since it slowed down a lot.
Where did they meet?
At the school, when I was working there. And I think they still do that every week. And I got cards from them, you know.
And they helped you?
Well, really, I didn't try to buck myself. I can slow down, like I say, but then I really didn't try to stop it, you know.
But
I am trying since I got in on this road.
Do you still go to their meetings?
Well, no. I don't go to their meetings, but I follow this book, you know, as I go, and try to understand more about it.
They gave you a book?
Yeah. Well, I got various kind, you know, like from Edmonton, different places through them, see?
I understand. Did you used to go to their meetings?
Well, I went there while I was working there about 5 times. And since I got out, I've never bothered to myself. But
now, is the AA, is that all Pentecostals?
Well, I don't know exactly. I don't know. I think so.
The reason I asked is because you say it was at the school.
Yeah. Well, they came from different places, and they got some of these Pentecostals in with them.
I see. Because it's not the same thing.
Yeah. It's just a group meeting about this here alcoholic. Because I see it through this book.
I see.
Yeah.
They have them outside too, you know. And sometimes...
Yeah, I see that through this book. I get books from them, you know, about parties here and there in different places.
The reason I ask you is because I see in the drum...
Yes.
...a little bit of an advertisement.
Yes. Yeah. It's a very hard thing for a guy that's drinking steady, you know. to say I can quit it right now and I can do it. But I seen guys say, well, I quit right now. Well, there's one guy there, William Absimek, he's an Eskimo.
William who?
Absimek. Well, he haven't drank 11 years.
Is he a Pentecostal?
He's a Pentecostal, but he's one of these guys say he quits. It's 11 years now. And I seen a Navy guy do the same.
Navy?
Navy guy.
White?
White fellow.
Did you see an Eskimo do that? I mean, an Indian do that?
No. No. No.
Do you know anybody else in town who could quit just like that?
Well, you take Colin Amos, the one that's working in my place now, he's one. Drinking very, very heavy. His wife is right in there with him. When they said quits, they had him drop. Took a drop, it's about 8-9 months now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't worry him at all.
So he's my neighbor.
Yeah, it don't bother too much at all. That's the way I understood it. And I think he's right. And he said it. Well, he got away from a lot of trouble by quitting. He says, very, very glad he quit.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he hope he stays that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe. Well, all the trouble that we got is through drinking. All of it. All the way through the nails. It's all through this drinking business. But the ones that kind of quit for good, well, they don't seem to have the trouble we got. Yeah.
They're doing all right?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Oh, yes. Get away from this misery, like, you know. They live happier together, and the kids are all right together. And the ones that did, it's not too many. Joe Teddy's another one. He quit about 5 years now. Well, he's working in the school too.
Yes.
William Absolik, and there's David Rowland. Well, none of them guys drink anymore. And they used to be all heavy drinkers.
And does it show in their life
that
the difference? Does the difference
show? Oh, yes,
show?
I think so. Yes. As I seen them same guys that do anything, you know, it's not too happy, you know. But they do it like any other drunk. I mean, they don't know what they're doing, but they're trying to go ahead anyway. So. But now all that is away from this, and
yeah.
I think it makes a difference. They all get along very good, from what I've seen.
Do you think that women drink as much as men or less than men?
Well, I think it's less. But while they got it, I think they're worse than men too.
Some? Is that what you mean?
Some of them. Some of them. Because the drunken woman, and I've seen quite a few, they seem to be worse than the men. A lot of times, man is drunk, but then you might talk to him and listen. But most of these women, when I see somebody trying, oh, they curse you right off anyway. I seen a lot of it there with this year, beer sliver. The ones that slinging beer, this year, vendor. In the bar, they'd come 3-4 o'clock in the morning and they'd break right in.
Into his house?
Into this here restaurant, you know. There's a night man there all the time. Well, off and on, he had to get the cops to stop it. And like the ones that's drinking hard like that, on the woman's side, well, seems to me you just can't tell them.
No.
I seen them throwing bottles through windows. Well, then he had to go and get money to stop it. Well, then they'll raise heck of the money anyway, right up to the time they throw them in.
Fight them out. I was going to ask you a question. Why do you think that people drink? What do the people admit? What do you think? What do people think? What is it that makes, do they drink to have a good time? Do they drink to drown their sorrows? Why do they drink?
Well, from what I see of myself, you know. I think it's just a bad habit, just the idea of another drink. I don't see any other way that I can explain it, you know,
mm-hmm.
outside of this way.
Okay.
And, well, for instance, now I got a dollar, well, I got to go in there. I got to have this here drink. But then when there's times there, if I got no dollar, I don't bother to go in. Yeah. But I really slow down lots of.
When a fellow drinks, does it make him feel good or does it make him feel sad?
Well, most of us, it makes us feel, at the beginning, you know, very happy, you know. Like, for instance, like me, and I see the rest of my people like that. Well, then, after you get one, well, then you got to get another one. Well, then you get another one. Well, now we're getting to know that, gee, I should have never took that one.
Yes.
If I could have broke that away, I saved myself, I hear others say that. Boy, it could have cost me about 20, 30 bucks. That one rip, I end up home broke many a time. Only then I realized I got up here with no money.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm sorry about it.
Yeah.
So I really slowed down lots of it. And I've done it a dozen times over, especially with my people. Well, here, come and have a drink. He do the same to me. A lot of time I don't want his drink, but then I kind of respect him. And pretty soon I take one drink like that woman. Well, there I go.
If you say to somebody, no, yeah. Does the other guy get mad?
Well, no.
He won't get mad.
No. But then there's a lot of guys there too, when they're high, you talk to them like that, well, they tell you to have it anyway.
They insist?
Yeah, yeah.
What about other things that people take? Drugs or glue sniffing? Is there any of that?
Oh, well, the ones that are drinking, they look for anything, you know, like when they're dry, like this story of Sunday when I was telling you.
Yes,
yes. Oh, yes. If they know there's some extract in the store that got alcohol in it, they'd get in there and buy it, every chance they'd get. But when the liquor store is open, well, they go on this as long as it lasts, but then as soon as they're dry, like they know now Slim is open Sunday, and
yeah.
They know he got
yeah.
it, well, they get right in there. A lot of times they got 10 cents, 15 cents, but they collect it anyways. And they get in there and get it.
Outside, one of the things that's coming up now, and some people are worried about it, is drugs.
Yes.
You know, have you heard of LSD?
No.
Various kinds of drugs
yeah,
that
yeah.
people take.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I heard about guys that get doped up.
That's what I
yeah.
heard.
Yeah, I heard some guys get to Edmonton and somebody will give them a drug and a little drink, you know, and then they end up getting robbed.
Or in a cigarette,
yeah, yeah.
marijuana.
Yeah.
Is there any of that?
No.
Around?
No. Well, there's nothing. You know.
Yeah. And how about kids sniffing glue?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that?
Well, I seen one crazy thing I'll tell you about. You know these here gas barrels, these 4 to 5 gallon gas barrels?
Yes.
I seen a guy that'll open this thing and breathe this thing in, you know. And he ends up getting drunk just like a real drunkard that got drunk with liquor.
Now, is this a man or a kid?
Well, he was a young fellow at the time.
The kid.
I seen him again here yesterday. That guy that used to do that, he was sitting in the bar. I went over there to see a guy and here he was.
Yes.
Well, the way I got in was this phone rang from a Clavix, long distance, and they told me to see this certain guy. They mentioned him by name, and I knew him right away. He was a native, see. So he says, I think he's in there. He says, could you check for me? So I got in there, and there he was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the guy that used to do that.
Do kids still do that?
No, I never seen any more of that.
You know, that's very, very
oh, boy, you know, I seen that guy that would go, and he'd just drop. Oh, yes,
but
I've seen that.
It's dangerous in a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if that stuff gets
yeah.
into the brain,
mm-hmm.
it can ruin you
yeah.
for life.
Yeah, yeah.
That
well,
gasoline
I,
is
yeah.
very dangerous.
Yeah. Well, I guess you get a touch of that. And when he gets that, you know, he just waves and he'll drop.
In Frobisher Bay, the kids were doing that.
Oh, yes.
They would go down to the Northern Affairs garage,
yes, yes.
and they would open the truck tanks.
Sure, sure. And smother this thing in. Well, that's the only way I seen a guy do that.
Kids.
Yeah. Well, this was a very young fellow at the time. I don't know how he got to know to do that, but I actually seen him when this happened in the clinic.
Well, he must have learned. Somebody must
oh,
have
yeah,
told
somebody
him.
Must have told him.
And one kid tells another. And they were doing that in Great Whale River, too.
Yeah. Well, he got so that he didn't hide. There was a lot of barrels all over at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he got so that he didn't hide. That's the way I found out. But I seen him falling on his head as he went, ending up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that can be very dangerous.
Yeah, I guess it would be. Hot, eh? Very hot, I guess.
Very what?
That stuff could be very hot, eh? It could affect your own brain.
It's not so much that it's hot, but the gas has a has lead in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that lead gets
yeah.
into the, I don't know, the blood
yeah.
or the lungs. Or
they,
the heart.
They evaporate this stuff into their system. Get loaded up, and I guess they end up
mm-hmm.
in their head. Well, it must be powerful if you get the one place. Eh?
It's just poison.
Oh,
powerful
yeah.
or not powerful, it's just poison.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah.
What happened to you?